Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness in today's show. We'll also be taking your calls and responding to your email questions. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Sherry, are you there?
I am.
Oh, now we're talking.
How are you?
Good to hear your voice.
Yeah. Things were quiet for a little while there, weren't they?
Little pause there for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Chance to take a breath.
Yes, always a good time to take a breath.
The mind is scrambling, trying to figure out what's going on.
As if it could ever do that. It always hopes, though, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. How are you today?
I'm very well. I've been up on the roof.
Oh.
Fixing my leaky roof, working on my leaking roof, and then I work on my leaking roof, and then I come down and work on the arc a little. And then I go back up and work on the roof, and so I feel optimistic.
Good.
Yeah.
Are you down to a couple inches of water inside now, or
less than that?
Or?
Yeah, I'm actually able to keep up with the bailing. So, it's all good.
Good, good.
I keep thinking, now, where do I live? Where is it that I live?
It's like the never-ending winter, it seems to me.
Yes, it is. And, I we have no reason to complain except when I look at the weather around the country, and New York City is having better weather than we are. It's just painful. Not that I don't want people in New York City to have wonderful weather. I do. But it just seems deeply wrong. Somehow.
Yes.
It's not what the real estate brochure said.
Yes.
When my grandparents moved here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm sure to a lot of people that a lot of rain wouldn't seem like winter to them.
That is correct.
To us in California.
This is a deeply spiritual issue. It's all a matter of perspective.
Yes.
It's karma. It's conditioning. It's what we expect. It's what we believe.
Yes.
And then how hard we are going to take it when what we believe doesn't pan out.
Yes.
So did I tell you my favorite quote, my newest, most favorite quote?
Oh, let's hear it.
It's from a fellow, now that I've said that, I'm grabbing for the piece of paper on which it's written. His name is Philip K. Dick, and here it is. Reality is that which, when you stop believing in it, doesn't go away.
Can you say that one more time?
Yeah, reality is that which, when you stop believing in it, doesn't go away.
Wow.
Isn't that good?
So reality just is.
Yeah, and all of this believing that we do and thinking it should be this way and it's going to be that way and, it just is entertaining for us, but it doesn't have anything to do with what's going on. And, of course, entertaining, and or a great cause of suffering
depending on
how one approaches it.
Yes.
But, it's just good to be reminded periodically that we don't know, and we can't know, and we're not going to know, and trying to figure it out is a big waste of time, and taking it personally is an even bigger waste of time.
You make it so clear and simple, Sherry.
Yes, and in the meantime, just get up there and fix the leaking roof. Quit thinking that it shouldn't be raining so you don't have to worry about the leaking roof. Just fix the leaking roof.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Quit whining.
Wow.
Get on the roof.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
And what's also exciting is that we have a caller.
Oh, very good. Maybe they want to talk about something other than rain.
Well, we'll see.
Who knows?
I'd like to welcome Drew from Chicago. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello, Drew.
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Michael.
Hi.
Can we ask how the weather is where you live?
It's chilly and cloudy. And I'm going to be out at the monastery in 2 weeks, so I'm hoping for sun and spring.
Okay, well, then it hasn't worked for us, but we're going to put our energy into doing it for you. How's that?
That's great.
Okay, all right, good. What's going on?
I'm calling back. I called a few weeks ago with my issue about being all over the place about job and wanting to change my life.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to let you know that it's been a wonderful change, my perspective, just dropping it all, which was just, I was clueless about before the call last time. Just letting it all go has just been amazing for me and a great example to set for the rest of my life, you know, and how I do everything. So that's been wonderful.
It's funny, isn't it, that it never occurs to us.
Yeah.
You know, and truly, even in the rest of your life, you know, the odds are really good that the next time you find yourself in exactly the same place, which, of course, you will, because that's what we do, because, you know, it just all cycles around over and over and over. It probably won't occur to you the next time either.
Yeah.
Because not occurring to us is part of the whole cycle.
Right.
Yeah. And then it's this great revelation when it does occur to us, and we drop it, and there it is, and everything clears up, and away we go. It's like a miracle every time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice. I enjoy it. And you answered my question with your quote, because I'm having another issue, you know, and I'm wondering, am I doing the same process or is this different? And so my question was going to be, how do I know? And so I'll know just by, you know, dropping it, and if it's still there, then it'll be true.
That's right. Yeah. So. Or the thing about that to me that's tricky is that you drop it, and the circumstances don't necessarily change, right?
I mean, right.
Yeah, whatever the issue is very likely still going to be there. It's just that our orientation to it is so different that it's sometimes hard to imagine that it actually is still there.
Can you say that again?
Yeah. So I'm going along, and I've got this big problem in my life that I'm kind of agonizing over. And so maybe it's something like, you know, should I buy that house or shouldn't I? Okay, that's the kind of thing that can get most of us going. You know, is this the right thing? I mean, it seems like it, but what if it isn't? And what, you know, what if I'm thinking to, and maybe the, you know, the market's supposed to be dropping, and so maybe I could, you know, shouldn't I? And then all of a sudden, I just drop the whole thing. Well, I still may not know about the house,
mm-hmm.
but it's no longer a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when you talk about dropping it, do you mean don't do it or just drop the mind part of it?
Yeah, drop the back and forth and the agonizing and the believing that this is a big deal and an issue and it's life and death and I've got to figure this out and it's really important and something big is hinging on this. You know, when we drop all the angst, then I still may not know whether to move or stay where I am or go to therapy in this relationship or call it quit. You know, I still may
right.
not have any resolution, but I no longer see that as a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
So whether you take the action or not, it's just, yeah.
Well, there's life, and it's one more thing that I don't have an answer to, and someday I will, and it's just there's no juice to it any longer.
Yeah.
Sometimes, of course, when we drop it, we really do have clarity. You know, actually, I want to buy the house, and I don't really care what happens with the market. Or actually, you know, it's all fine.
So that's pretty much what happened with my issue around work. I mean, in a very subtle way, once I dropped it all and let it go and saw the absurdity of what my mind was doing to me, there actually created some space to to where some true desire came up. And I'm not believing anything. I'm not setting goals. I'm just sort of being with this thing that's coming up in my life, and it's music, and spending a little time every day putting some energy towards that.
Yeah. And
seeing where it goes. And it's fun. And
am I going to do this or should I do that?
Right.
What does this mean? And, you know, can I make a living? And I'm probably going to wind up homeless. It's just, okay, I'm doing this, and I want to do some of that, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So then, instead of everything in life, conditioning presents everything in life as a loss. It's either an immediate loss or a future loss. And when we're here, when we're actually present, we have all of these options, and they all add something to our life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes life big and doable at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And, of course, what gets freed up when we drop that dualistic angst is enough energy to do a lot of things that we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the energy isn't being siphoned off into that should I, shouldn't I.
Yeah. Oh, the amount of energy I was putting into the whole work thing was just incredible.
And oh, yeah. Go to bed exhausted, wake up exhausted, drag through the day.
I was really abusing myself. I mean, really, because it was just from all ends. It was sort of like having this nagging parent saying, "You should be doing this. You should be doing that. You should be," you know. And it was just like it was nonsense. It was relentless. So it's been a great freedom.
Yeah. Whew. You don't even need a vacation. Just being able to live your life feels like a vacation.
I do need a workshop though, so I'll be there for that. Hey, I have one other issue. Can I talk? I have many other issues, but can I talk about one other one?
Oh, yeah.
I wake up in the morning to, and I've heard you talk about this before, but I wake up to just absolute dread in the morning.
Mm.
And I can face the voices, and the voices seem to disappear, but there is just this cloud or this saturation of, I don't know what to call it, self-hatred, just really, you know, awfulness that takes quite a while for me to shed in the morning. And I've tried to give it a voice. I've tried, you know, I've tried some different things, and it's ugly.
So when you are with the person who is listening to it,
okay,
what happens?
Boy, it's hard to disidentify and be with that person.
Yeah, because what happens to us, of course, is that we can feel ourselves, and the ourselves that we're feeling is the small, you know, ego illusion of a separate, you know, that personality identity, this is me, who I am. It just splits, right? And one half is usually a very young person who is receiving the information, and then there's this conditioned response of self-hatred or however we want to talk about that. And there, that's the relationship. There's the two sides of the duality. Okay? Mm-hmm. Everything that you should be and should do and you're not and what's wrong with you, and then this little person who's listening to that and feeling bad and overwhelmed and abused and abandoned and helpless and hopeless. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, what we're then required to do is actually break free enough from our addiction to that dance, that ego dance. We have to step free of that enough to move into that larger perspective, the kind of Buddha nature perspective, the compassionate, conscious presence that can see what's going on, feel great sympathy for the person who's being beaten up, feel kind of a sympathetic unwillingness to allow the beating to go on. Yeah? It's kind of like there are two little kids who are in this terrible fight, and then there's an older sibling who kind of comes in and, you know, separates them and says, "Now you can't do that anymore, and, you know, you don't have to take that. It's okay. You're okay. Go to your neutral corners, or your, you know, each of you go to your corner, and no, you don't get to interact any longer."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's taking that step back into that larger, conscious, compassionate awareness perspective that's the tricky part.
Yeah.
As you've noticed.
Yeah, because I can do it at other times, but the morning, like I said, is just for some reason.
Well, you wake up into it.
Yeah,
You know, you're in such a weakened condition when you wake up, because
right.
It's been going on. It's probably what woke you up.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't an alarm clock, you know, that's what woke you up, is the conditioning doing what it does. So, you know, there are some things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a piece of paper right there next to you that says all of the things that you know to be true,
mm-hmm.
that you need to remember when you're in that weakened state.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
What might some of those be?
This is not really happening. This is not true. Because it feels so true, and it's, you know, the history of it and the story behind it is kind of very real and can trigger, you know, some stuff.
This is not real. This is not true. This is old stuff. Has nothing to do with what's going on now. This is who you are now. This is what your life is like. This is what's true for you. I'm here with you. It's okay. We're going to be all right.
I love you.
Can get up and have breakfast. You know, we can get up and fix tea or fix a cup of coffee. We can meditate. It's okay. We can get through this. This is just an old habit. This is just stuff that is lingering from the past. We have a bright, shiny day ahead of us. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay? And so that would be my encouragement. Write that out. Write all of those things out. And then you start saying them first thing in the morning when you open your eyes. And you don't stop. You don't stop saying them until the energy has changed. And, of course, as you know, everything is going to try to get you not to start. It's
right.
going to tell you it's not going to work. You should just quit. It's hopeless. And you just note that all of that is going on, and you just keep saying it until the shift happens, and it will happen. You'll feel the, you know, the internal process shift,
mm-hmm.
and then you can just say thank you, get up, go on about your day.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, and it's a discipline. You know, you just have to do it. And you can do it with kindness and you can bribe yourself, you know. Maybe part of what happens is that your blood sugar is really low when you first wake up, so maybe you have a glass of orange juice waiting for yourself. Maybe you have, whatever it is that you know gives you a signal the very first thing in the morning that you are loved, you are cared for, it's all right, you know how to take care of yourself. You can get through this. You can make this work. Whatever says that to you, and then you start reading the things that the reminders that you need to have until it's all in place, and then acknowledge that you have been successful. You know, acknowledge, yes, this works. Thank you for doing that. That was that. That's great. Good. Here we go.
That sounds good. I've been walking. I have a dog, and I live in the city, so I have to walk. And I just decided a few weeks ago that I'm going to walk until it goes away, until I walk it off.
Yep. Get up. So do this little program that we talked about. get your little four-legged pal, and then reinforce it.
Yeah, I can take my notes with me and walk and read to myself. And,
that's right.
And take care of it, I hope.
Yep, and you can say it out loud. You live in a city.
Yeah, I don't mind seeming crazy anymore. So.
Oh, that's right. People walk down the street talking to themselves all the time. You can talk to your dog. They don't know.
Yeah.
They don't care. Yeah.
Great.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Very good. Thanks, Drew.
Okay, take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Drew. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have at least three more callers waiting.
Well, let's talk.
All right. I'd like to welcome Barb from Pittsburgh. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Barb. How you doing?
Okay.
Good. What's going on?
Well, I wanted to share with you something kind of exciting that happened, and I noticed as I'm getting closer to call-in time that it just seems to be dampened down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I've had something that's been sort of throughout my life, at least from late teens and on. It's probably what brought me into Zen practice to begin with, and I haven't really seen it for a while, at least not heard it for a long time. But it was funny, I had listened to one of your CD tapes, one of the CDs, and in there you were saying about using the word self-hate, and that hearing a voice that would say, you need to kill yourself or whatever, and seeing that this is really self-hate isn't even strong enough for this. And I remember when I was listening to that, I kind of thought, well, that's harsher than I've ever heard.
Uh-huh.
But it kind of, that little comment just sort of slipped past. And then I was, a couple of days after that, I was playing piano with my son and teaching him to learn some music and things and having a regular good time and pretty much aware and present to what I was doing. And a voice came up and it said, I don't want to live.
Whoa.
And I realized, because I was there, that it had nothing to do with what was going on.
Wow.
And I didn't go into the usual body reaction with it or anything.
Right.
Because it was just so stunning there to realize that voice, that self-hate, and seeing it for that and not having it be me was really amazing.
That, what a gift.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
What a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
and you know,
I love it. Because we talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
But it sounds crazy until you've had the experience.
Yes,
you know,
and I've really noticed, I've gotten to the point where I think I know everything about this. I understand everything you're saying, but it still doesn't connect in until it happens.
Until it happens, yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny, even sitting here waiting for the phone line, one of the things that came to me was, I don't think I want anybody that knows me to know I have this voice. That it means that I'm weak, or it has meant this. It was the voice itself was saying this. That this means you're weak. You know, there's definitely something wrong with you to have this kind of thing being said to you. And you know, it's funny because it was it really was active in my life for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And to have that reappear. But not be me is just
well. It's so perfect. It's classic. First of all, that it's gotten away with making you believe it was you for a really long time.
Oh yeah.
And so it didn't have to try to tell you there was something wrong with you. You know, you want to kill yourself for God's sake. Of course, there's something wrong with you. And then there you are having a perfectly good time, and you hear that voice say that.
Yeah.
And there's the experience of that voice is not me. And then, now, it wants you to believe that the fact that it's there saying these things is proof that there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, just a minute ago we were talking with Drew about, you know, go ahead, walk down the street talking to yourself. You know, I mean, people expect that. You know, there are those kinds of people all the time.
Yeah.
So you're walking along down the street and somebody is talking to themselves. Then they include you in the conversation. Is there something wrong with you? Because
yeah.
That person is talking to you? No, they don't have anything to do with you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and there it is. It all happened, and this has to be in quotes, but inside your head, and yet it is just as other as walking down the street and having somebody just start talking to you about whatever is going on inside their head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, and it's something now I've been thinking that it comes along at times just that I haven't heard this for a long time, but it seems like it slowly creeps into body sensations without really me hearing things.
Oh,
that
yeah.
I would say I have a low-level kind of just not so good feeling.
Yeah. Oh, well, sure, you were never meant to hear that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's what I just love it when when it trips up like that, when the timing is off.
Yeah.
It's just perfect because if you had been really engaged in something, being distracted by whatever, then that slips in under the radar, but the information still comes in. And you just start feeling bad, and then the associations are made, you know, more and more and more, and then down the road you're really depressed, you're upset, you're whatever it is that's going on, having no idea how you got there.
Mm-hmm.
Again, as we were talking about with Drew, you know, you wake up in the morning, and why do you feel so lousy? Well, it's because that kind of conversation has been going on while you've been asleep.
Yeah.
But you're there. You're paying attention, and on top of that, you're having a good time.
Yeah.
That's really bad timing for
you. Oh, yeah. It's yeah. And I think I feel like I've been sharpened up by that, that, you know, next time those overall bad feelings creep around, I'm going to really be watching.
Well, yeah, because now, again, now it's remembering it, of course, when you're in the throes of it, but you have a definite experience of how that process works. And, of course, you know, you've seen it, I'm sure, countless times in other circumstances. But here you come to and you just feel crummy. Well, you can know what happened.
Yeah.
Now, conditioned mind, of course, wants you to look around now and figure out why you feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, it's because, you know, my family this, or my, you know, my family that, or my... No, it's because something slipped in when I wasn't paying attention, and it just began to fester in there under the level of conscious awareness, and now it's up to the surface, and all I really need to do, because I can't figure it out, and it doesn't matter if I did, what I need to do is drop it, and get back here to the breath in this moment where there's nothing wrong.
Yeah, that has been one of my focuses lately, is to really see that relationship of, you know, not following the voices, not believing them. But and I've been really hooked by them. Even though I know they're there, it's just that, you know, really hearing them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's such an old habit.
Yeah.
You know, the relationship is ancient for most of us. That's just, you know... It's just assumed that we should be in relationship with those voices, that they are us, that we should believe them, that we should do what they say, feel bad when they say feel bad. So, of course, even though we're onto it, we're still going to get caught.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, there's another issue. These two issues are big ones. I was thinking these are the two big issues I would like to really concentrate clearing out.
Uh-huh.
And that's the one. And the other is a big part of my life is fear. And I have a good chance of working with that because I have a really interesting relationship with my mother-in-law. She's the one with Alzheimer's, and I just kind of have a fearful. I really identify with a really younger fearful personality.
So when you're with her, a young person in you is there.
Yeah,
who finds her really scary.
It's almost paralyzingly so.
Uh-huh. Know,
and I know that I can't. The stories that come up is that I can't do what needs to be done and have her do what she needs to do because a lot of times she will be very reactive or stubborn and won't do the things that actually just for her general health and hygiene would be needed. And so I tend to just feel that, like, run, hide, get out of here, don't even try.
Uh-huh.
And it was interesting that just sitting here and listening before I came on, and the one thing that occurred to me, and I know I know this, but just hearing that again, is that I can have all those fear reactions and go into all this, and her behavior is still going to be the same.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Why should I go through all that?
Oh, exactly.
You know, it doesn't
change anything. Exactly. But again, we have a lot of information that says, no, 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 you are the all-powerful center of the universe. And if you are the right person, and if you do everything right, then everything will go the way it's supposed to go, mm-hmm. and it'll, yeah, and it won't, in fact.
Yeah.
You can't control her. You have no power over her.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's true.
But what you do have is the ability to take care of that young part of yourself. True?
Well, it doesn't feel like it.
Oh, it doesn't. Now, if it were your son who was in that fearful place, what would you say?
Yeah.
How would you take care of him?
I guess I would say that you don't have to do that. I'm not exactly sure. I'm not exactly sure because I have a hard time picturing that because he doesn't. That's what always sort of sparks me out of it is because he has no fear of her, mm-hmm. and he can go down and do things, and she can yell at him, and he doesn't care.
Uh huh.
And that's how I know. I said the other night, I said, you guys don't have the experience I'm having.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear that this isn't a universal kind of thing.
That's right. But if he were in a situation where he was afraid, what would you say to him?
Oh, well, I guess it would be, it's okay, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I'll help you do it.
Mm-hmm. And if it were something that's kind of a grown-up thing, wouldn't you tell him, it's okay, you don't need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that. You're a child. You shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which is what I'm encouraging you to say that to the young part of yourself. We need the mother. We need the mother person here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We need the grown up here, not a little child who's afraid.
Yeah.
So all the adults. This is classic. It's subpersonality stuff. All the adults, and again, that has to be in quotes. They all bail out and leave some little kid there
mm-hmm.
to take care of this person who doesn't have a mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, it always feels like, well, if they're running out, they're probably afraid, too.
Yeah. And yet, the person who can recognize, wait a minute, you people are not experiencing the same thing that little kid in me is experiencing. How is that?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what's always so stunning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's accessing that part of you who can see that when you're interacting with your mother-in-law.
Yeah, yeah.
And the temptation is to go unconscious,
mm-hmm.
bail out, and leave the little kid there,
yep.
and then be terrified.
Yeah.
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 So that can be such a great practice, especially if you don't make it a contest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So then every day you get to practice it every day, right?
Every day, okay. Multiple times.
Yeah. Here we go. Okay.
Yeah,
all right. All little children.
Good workshop.
Leave the room.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Good.
So I will work on that
know.
And report back.
report back.
All right, very good.
Very good. Thanks, Barb.
All right, good talking to you.
Good talking to you. Alrighty.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Barb. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to break now, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Coming up next on Open Air, in our second half of today's show, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious, compassionate awareness. We'll be taking your calls and responding to your email questions. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we've hit the Midwest and we've hit the East Coast. Now we're going to hit the Mountain States.
All right. Michael, I want to say I'm having a little bit of difficulty hearing you.
Oh, can you hear me better now?
Not actually.
Let me get a little note here to our engineer.
Yeah, your voice is coming across very quiet.
Okay, and I will try to speak up also. Okay, I'd like to welcome Jane from Colorado. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. Thank
Good
you so
evening.
Much for
How
making
are you?
Yourself available. Sherry, I got to have the privilege of being in your email class.
Uh-huh.
For the year.
Oh.
And, I'm sure you've heard this question a lot from those of us that got to do that. I'm still in withdrawal. And I am wondering what kinds of recommendations you make for our practice without the email class, because I have my conditioning saying, you're not really growing now, Jane. you should be doing something else.
Yes. Well, now, of course, you know, the one of the most growthful responses to that is, well, one of the things that I can do is not engage with voices that tell me things like that about myself.
Yes, yes.
So using that kind of information as a little flag, a little flare that goes up that says, oh, really time to come back to center here. It's challenging, isn't it? I realize for myself that being involved like that every day was such a marvelous discipline and kind of a, this is a funny word for it, but kind of a container.
Yeah, yes.
Uh-huh. And so finding that kind of structure every day is tricky.
Yes, but I could. Structure is a great word. There are ways to do that. I just felt myself growing so much, mm-hmm. and really felt connected to the monastery and to you in an extraordinary way. It really made me appreciate technology.
Yeah, yeah. It was like many people said it was like an extended stay at the monastery. For people who were really participating on a daily basis. Then we're kind of left to, all right, well, now I have to find a way to make this happen. I have to create the support for myself, and I'm sure you've heard me say any number of times, or maybe not, that was my great motivation when I came out of the monastery where I trained. I wanted to figure out, set up a life for myself, where practice was at the center of it. And what that involved was everything that I have done since then.
Mm-hmm.
Starting a sitting group and arranging workshops and going on retreat and just having something regularly that I was committed to doing. And I found that the things that I would commit to doing that somebody else was responsible for, I could easily get out of. It was harder for me to get out of the things that I was responsible for.
That's helpful. And that makes sense. Yeah,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
As far as sitting goes, I know you're not a rules person, but is extending our sitting practice, is that something that you find very important to recommend?
How do you mean?
Well, like, so if I sit for 15 minutes, is it like, is the next step to sit for 30?
It sure can be.
It can
And
be.
The other thing, depending on your lifestyle and, you know, the demands on your time and that sort of thing, always I like to keep everything in the realm of want to, yeah? So
yeah.
If 15 minutes sounds good, And that really works for you, but you want to do more, you could sit for 15 minutes. You could do 10 minutes of walking meditation. You could sit for another 15 minutes. Or if you're really enjoying sitting, go from 15 to 20 minutes. You know, when 20 minutes is just not long enough and, you know, the little buzzer or the bell or whatever it is goes off and you really don't want to get up, then sit for 25 minutes. And keep going that way until, you reach 30 minutes. I never encourage people to sit for longer than 30 minutes just because, it's nice for the body to move around. It's I think it's helpful to not fall into... let's face it, after a certain length of time, we can get so comfortable and relaxed that really what we're doing is snoozing and not actually meditating. So, you know, we want to stay here. It's not, we're not doing this to get into a nice, comfy place or to zone out for periods of time. We really want to be present with the subtle levels of what's going on. So, you know, you do a half an hour and then you do maybe 10 minutes of walking and sit for another period, or 15, 30 minutes of walking and sit for another period. It can also be helpful to sit in the morning and sit in the evening, or sit in the morning and sit in the afternoon, you know, as a way of sort of bringing more of that focused attention into your everyday life.
That's very helpful.
Yeah, and all kinds of things, you know, start collecting quotes. Things like if there's something, you know, I don't believe in a lot of reading, because so often reading just becomes a distraction. It's an entertainment. It doesn't actually, it turns into something that I know instead of an experience. But to have the kind of thing that we had with the email class where maybe you read something like the Dhammapada, or what the Buddha taught, or something by Dogen, or something like that, and which I just suggested to the monks that we start doing every time something arises. Let's look at what the Buddha taught on that subject. Find the thing that he was talking about that addresses what I'm looking at now in my life 2,500 years later, you know. But not to do it, not to sit down and read, a whole book on Dogen, but to read a little section of it and then apply that in your life. You know, get up in the morning and read a quote, read a paragraph or whatever, and then let that be something that kind of informs your day, or creates sort of that structure or that container that the email class was.
We can do it on our own, can't we?
Yeah, with a lot of help from our friends.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Especially if we keep it in that, this is something I want to do to be sure that I have the pleasure of my company throughout the day.
Thank you.
You know, it's like you have a new sweetheart, and you find yourself wanting to write little notes, and, you know, leave a little something here with a little note, and, you know, buy this little something, this little reminder that I'm thinking of you, and, you know, all of those special little things, and that's the kind of relationship that we want to have with ourself and awareness. So that all day long, the day is punctuated with these little moments of, yes, I'm here with you, yes, thank you, here we are, really alive, really present, really here, yes.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
And thank you again for making yourself available.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us, Jane. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio.
Michael?
Yes, Sherry?
You are completely gone for me now. I can just hear a little tiny whisper of Michael far, far away.
Can you hear me now?
You're enough to know that you're doing a telephone commercial, but
yes.
Not enough really to have confidence that if you launched into another sentence, I would be able to follow it.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
All right, thanks.
I'd like to welcome our next caller. We have Tony from New York. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Tony.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
I'm doing well, and you?
Good.
Good. What's going on?
Well, I called with a question about meditating.
Uh-huh.
And kind of what happens as I go through the process of meditating.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing, to me, it feels like an annoyance, and I don't quite understand it, is that I seem to have a narrator in my head who kind of is watching everything that's going on in my head and looking for what's going to happen next.
Yes. Now, if we were in a room full of meditators, full of retreatants,
right,
this is the point at which I would turn and say, now, do you want a reality check? And then I would ask people, how many of you have that experience? And everybody in the room would raise their hand.
Right.
Yep. That's a good one.
And I find myself getting more and more uptight about that voice.
Uh-huh.
Because I want it to stop, and I find myself, it kind of sets up a whole conversation in my head. And it's hard, I don't know if I'm supposed to just listen to it and let it go, you know?
Yep. That's what I would suggest.
Just listening to it and letting it go.
Yeah, but you listen to it enough to really have a sense of what it is. So early on, when we were talking with Drew and then with Barb, about the kind of stuff that goes on underneath the surface, that voice is a big part of what goes on under the radar screen for most people. And that voice is actually guiding people's lives, creating the reality that the person lives in,
mm-hmm.
and the person doesn't even know that that's happening. Now, the average person, whoever the heck that is, when confronted with this, would say that that voice is them. It's me. It's who I am. It's me. I'm saying that.
Right. That's definitely kind of how I interpret it.
Yeah. And so it took you a while to catch on that, no, in fact, it isn't you, because you are listening to it and you really wish it would be quiet. Yeah?
Right.
So if you're listening to it and you want it to be quiet, you know it's not you. So if there's somebody there narrating your life, being the voiceover of your life, you
right.
do actually want to know what they're saying. Yeah?
Right.
Yeah. And then after you get that, what you're able to do is have a relationship with it. Okay, I'll just digress here and tell you something, a little something about myself.
I'm sorry, I missed that last part.
I said I'm going to digress and tell you a little something about myself.
Uh-huh.
And that is that I've been doing awareness practice for so long that now this is going to sound like it might be a little egocentric, but actually I'm revealing something that it can be extremely annoying. And that is that I miss nothing. Okay? Now, you may have noticed that the world we live in is filled with background stuff. Right? There's
right.
music going on everywhere. There are televisions going. There are PA systems. There's just a non-stop background of noise. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I hear every song. I hear the lyrics of every song. Okay, I'm in a store, and I'm looking at whatever it is, and I hear all the lyrics of all the songs.
Right.
You with me?
Yep, I am.
Okay, so what I have to be able to do is know that my attention is on that, that that's part of what my awareness is attending to,
right,
and have it not be so dominant that it drives me nuts. Okay? Now, I will say something. I'll be somewhere, and I'll say something about the music that's on, and whoever it is that I say it to just looks at me And then I watch them tune into the fact that there's music going on. And what they'll often say is, wow, I never even heard that.
Right.
And the point that I make endlessly is, people like me should get to decide what the background is. It shouldn't be decided by people who never hear the background. It should be
right.
decided by people who hear it. I realize I'm not going to convince anybody of this, but, you know, since you brought up the subject, I thought maybe I could convince you. So that's the relationship that you're developing with that voice that you hear inside your head. You know that it's there. It's within your field of awareness because you don't want it to be doing something, saying something that is affecting you without you knowing it. Yeah? But
right.
it can't be so dominant that it's the only thing you can attend to or it'll drive you nuts.
And I guess it's just a matter of continuing to sit.
Yeah.
And just listen.
Yeah, and knowing that this is a big part of what's running your life.
Right. That is helpful.
Yeah, so you're going to make peace with that. It's like, do you have children?
No, I don't.
Okay, but you have probably have friends with children. And you're around children, and you watch them, and you watch how sometimes parents just ignore the kids, and then the kids just get frantic and desperate. But if
right.
the parents attend to the children and respond to them, then the children actually stay fairly calm. Okay, same process.
Hmm. Okay. Can I ask one? Well, I guess my other questions are kind of related to the same thing.
Okay, so here's what I would ask you to do. Sit with this for a while with what we've talked about, and then call me back and tell
okay.
me what you've noticed.
I will do that.
Yeah, because this is it. This is awareness practice. And so that's what you do. You sit down. You watch what happens, and you watch how you react to what happens, and what the voice, because there are two voices, right? There are way more than two, but there's the voice talking to you.
Right.
There's you aware of the voice talking to you, and there is a voice or a perspective, something, that's telling you how you should feel and react to the fact that this voice is talking to you.
Right,
so
and
right
that voice is always like, you're not doing it
players.
Right.
Yeah?
You're not meditating right.
That's right. That's what it's telling you. But here's what you have to know. You are meditating right. This is what meditation is. You're catching on to exactly how life works.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
very
I like good. That.
Above all, have fun, okay?
I will definitely have fun.
All right,
thank
good.
You so much, Terry.
Thanks. Good night.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Tony. You're listening to Open Air with Huber. Sherry, we've been given a couple more minutes here, and we have one more caller.
Oh, that's so good.
I'd like to welcome George from Pennsylvania. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello, George.
Hello, Sherry.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. What's going on?
I'll go right to the quick here. I am being absolutely inundated with self-hate to the point of where I wake up in the morning, and before I have a chance to take a breath, immediately self-hate has me hooked into believing that there's something wrong with me, that my life is terrible, that there's nothing going right, that and it'll never be different, and so on. And, you know, I'm meditating, I'm journaling, I'm, you know, responding to the voices of self, writing down the voices, what the voices are saying, responding from the mentor's perspective, and, you know, doing the things that I know how to do, but it's like I'm hooked every minute, to the point of where I'm just in this anxiety and depression and just terrible feelings all the time, like, you know, kind of a panic feeling all the time.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to find some, you know, something more to do, I guess, or something, something to break the bottleneck or the you know, somehow to, I don't know.
Somehow to stop believing it.
Yes, yes, uh-huh. Yes, exactly.
Do you ever read scary things?
Scary things?
Yeah, like mysteries or, you know, the kind of whodunit. Do you ever watch programs that are kind of scary or movies or that sort of thing?
Yeah, occasionally. I mean, I don't go out of the way to do it, but...
Yeah, but sometimes you're in that place.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the here it seems to me that I'll project, because this is what I do. It all depends on whether or not I believe it.
Yes.
Right? So
yep.
if I say, this is a novel, or this is a movie, this is not real, it's not happening, then it's fine. I disidentify from it, I step back from it, and it's fine. If I forget to do that, if I get caught up, then I'm in it, I'm a part of it, suddenly it's fearful, I'm anxious, my heart is pounding, oh my God, what's going to happen? Then, wait a minute, whoa, this is not actually happening. Okay? Are you with me on that?
Yes.
That's
yes.
The movement, right? And that's the movement that we're making with conditioned mind. Conditioned mind is presenting, is a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced that's why horror movies are so popular.
Yeah.
Okay? Because it's like the world that people live in all the time, only it's usually worse.
Yes.
So it's kind of a relief. Okay? So it's creating this anxiety producing, this gloom and doom, end of the world, oh my God, it's awful. And if it can get you hooked into it, then you're the perfect audience. You're in the thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you can remind yourself that this isn't true, this isn't real. I'm watching a movie inside my head. I'm listening to a story inside my head that is not true.
Right, even though there's all kinds of evidence and all kinds of stuff out there that it can use to hook you into it.
When you're in the story,
yeah.
There is. Okay, so if I'm reading, whodunit about a serial killer, then I can believe that every person that walks past me on the street is probably a serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I have to be participating in the story.
Yeah.
In order for that to be so.
Yeah, I mean, I really am believing it. I am believing that that I'm no good, that there's something wrong with me, that whatever I do doesn't work, that, you know, and it never will, and all that. I'm believing it.
That's right. You are identified with the person who's sitting there with a big bag of popcorn in the front row, just eating this whole thing up.
Yeah.
Okay? He's in the story. It's really true. He's believing it. He's buying it. I mean, here's the thing. He's the hero. He's the protagonist.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
The work, as I'm sure you know, is to see him as that. He loves it. He wants to do this. He's living it. Now the question is, do you want to?
Yeah.
It's okay that he does.
Uh-huh.
But you don't have to. You need to put the book down. You need to walk out of the theater.
Mm.
Now if you walk out of the theater and you keep telling the same story, you can know you're him. If you walk out of the theater and you look around and you can see that there's the sky up there and there are trees and there are birds singing, and okay, then you're not him. Are you with me?
You mean, so maybe I am him?
Well, if you're him, then you're loving the story, so quit saying you're not.
So what?
If you are him, if you're the hero of this story, if you're the protagonist, oh my God, it's awful, it's all about me, I can't do it, how's it? That's the protagonist.
Yeah.
Okay? He's living the story. It's his horror story.
Yeah.
Okay? And the work is to realize that you're not him.
Yeah.
Just like the last caller. Okay?
Yeah.
There's the voice. going on and on about whatever. Are you that voice, or are you the one listening to the voice?
Yeah.
And what I'm hearing you're able to do is actually realize, I'm caught up in the story, I'm the protagonist, oh God, life is awful, isn't this horrible, nothing ever works, I'm so depressed, I'm so upset, okay? And then you can step out of that, and you can see him in his life, and how he loves that drama, and how he wants to live in that story, that horror story.
Okay? In a way, I think it keeps him safe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. It's the center of the universe.
Yeah.
It's the best. It's what karma is about. It's what karma is about. He came here to have this incarnation where he can play that role.
Mm.
You got to decide whether you want that karma or you want a different karma. Or perhaps to end karma.
Yeah.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, right, without any connotation of evil or rotten, but that's what most of us are going through all the time.
Yeah.
Am I that story? Am I that protagonist in that horror story of life is awful and it's not going to work and oh my God, or am I here? Am I actually living in the world as it is?
Well, with me, it's mostly, am I that horror story, or am I this lovely story?
Yeah.
You know, kind
okay.
of the opposite.
Oh, good
kind of
for the, you. Good for you, because that's just the other side of the horror story, isn't it?
It's the other side of the horror story,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Doris Day and Rock Hudson horror story instead of the Nightmare
right.
of Dracula
right.
horror
yep.
story.
Yep.
Yeah.
And those are the two. Those are the two worlds that I get hooked into.
Yeah. And I'm hearing you also have the ability to be stepped out of that and watching those two stories. It'd
Thank
be
you.
Fun,
yeah.
actually, to get a poster of each one.
Uh-huh.
You know, the one that represents yeah. the horror story and the one that represents
the hero story. The,
yeah, the
good story.
Saccharine
the
hero story. And just have those up there so that you realize...
Yeah.
It's not that, and it's not that.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good.
Oh, beautiful.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, dear.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for calling. You've been listening to another great hour of Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Thank you so much, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael. Let's do it again soon.
Let's do it again soon. All righty.
Thanks. Bye.
Good night.